Proverbs 2 verse 6 tells us that the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And so if you have your Bible with you this morning, and I hope you do, please turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 4 through 13 this morning in Ephesians 4. We've had a pretty special morning thus far, and it's only just begun. Because in a few short moments from now, we're going to be able to participate in our church-wide ministry fair. An event where we've set up just outside these two side doors, booths that represent nearly every major ministry opportunity in our church. And every year we set aside a special day like this, because having a ministry fair where every member and attendee can see in a very tangible way, a lot of ways that they can plug into our church, this day reflects one of the central aims of our church, which is every member a minister. See, we want every member of our faith family here at Grace Chapel to find their unique place of belonging, connecting, and serving here alongside their brothers and sisters in Christ in the cause of the gospel for the glory of God. We want every member a minister to be the testimony of our church because this is the testimony of Scripture. See, a church is not a religious building where people only sit, nor is it a service organization where only professionals serve. No, the local church, Grace Chapel, is a living organism, as Scripture describes it. It is a family where every individual has an important part to play alongside the body. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just like a physical body is one and has many members, and just like all the members of the body, though many, operate as one, so it is with the body of Christ. Each part is indispensable. See, a true church, when it's operating properly, is an organic community of believers who are clinging fast to Christ and who are serving with and to one another. It's a family of faith where every member is a minister. And one of the ways that we seek to cultivate that aim and that vision here at our church is through our ministry fair. By taking this whole concept of service and making it physically concrete in a way that you can see, feel, touch, and talk about. And the reason why we make this such a priority is because God tells us in His Word that when every member becomes a minister in the body of Christ, truly something miraculous happens among the believers in that body. We become individually and collectively more like Jesus. And that's what I want us all to see this morning in our few short moments together here in Ephesians chapter 4. I want all of us to see how ministering together, side by side, motivates spiritual maturity. And we're going to see this laid out for us in three simple ways. In verses 4 through 6, we're going to see our one body for ministry. Then we're going to see our one giver towards ministry in verses 7 through 10. And then finally, our one mission in ministry in verses 11 through 13. So that's just three basic points. We can kind of walk through this passage together. That's ahead of us in Ephesians 4, 4 through 13. We have one body for ministry, one giver towards ministry, one mission in ministry. And we're going to see that when one body, one giver, and one mission comes together in gospel ministry, what happens is greater maturity among the body of Christ. So ministering motivates maturity. And so with that in mind, if you're able, please stand with me out of reverence for the Word of God as I read the context around our passage today in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes these words for us today. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean that he also, what does it mean but that he also descended to the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human coveting, by craftiness, by deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of God, whose laws we will not forget, though the cords of the wicked ensnare us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to come under the teaching of your word today. And we pray, Father, that by your Spirit you would help us to understand these truths, and that we would see the great promise that is ahead of us if we will follow Christ in a life of service. Father, I thank you that you have not kept us alone, but that you have given us your Spirit by which we can engage in ministry for our own good and for the good of our brothers and sisters and for the good of even the unsaved in our community. Father, help us to be about the work of ministry that you have given us in the gospel. And Father, may every blessing that comes from that be turned around for your honor and for your glory. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So the first truth that Paul presents in this passage, and obviously I don't have many minutes this morning, so I'm not diving in deep, sorry. But I actually am going to get through every verse today. I'm so excited. The first truth that Paul presents in this passage is that you and I have been placed into one body for ministry. That's in verses 4 through 6. Paul writes this. He says, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now, I'm just going to keep this super simple for the sake of time, but I think Paul's main point here is that you and I, as believers, have been made one. I'm just going to take a wild guess that I think that's the point, right? That he said it seven times, right? We who were, if you were to follow his reasoning in Ephesians, we who were once separated from God, separated from one another, we who had no commonality with each other at all, now in Christ Jesus, we have been united together into one body. We've been indwelt by one Spirit. We've been given one Lord. We've been entrusted to one faith. We've been immersed in one baptism. We've been adopted by one God and Father of all. As Romans 12 verse 5 puts it, we though many are one. One body in Christ and individually members one of another. God has brought us together. And that's the simple point I have time to make this morning. God has brought us together. Why though? Why has he brought us together? Why has he done this work? He's brought us all together by his saving work in Christ so that we would, all of us together, worship and serve this great God who is over all and through all and in all. There is a God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who is worthy of worship, worthy of praise, worthy of service. And so he's brought us together to fulfill that role. We have been saved for the glory of our Father. That is why we've been brought into one body. It is for ministry. A body doesn't sit. A body moves. A body acts. A body does things. And so there's a purpose behind our saving community that God has created here. As Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, like living stones, plural, we are being built up together into a spiritual house, singular. So God has united us and He has brought us together into a spiritual house. Why? To offer up spiritual sacrifices, Peter says, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So God has made us all one body so that we can move together, united in ministry for the worship and the service of our great God and Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's the first truth that Paul starts off with here. We have been placed into one body for ministry. For ministry. And when we, as believers united together in Christ, engage in that ministry, we don't have to engage in it alone on the basis of our own strength or our own skills. And that's because we not only have one body for ministry, we also have one giver towards ministry in verses 7 through 10, where Paul writes this, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things. Now there's a lot that could be unpacked there. If you want to discuss the context of Psalm 68, I'd be more than willing to do that in the ministry fair afterwards. But again, I'm just going to keep this super simple for the sake of time. But just like a sewing needle comes down and then comes back up again in order to bring two pieces of fabric together, so also Jesus has descended from heaven and then ascended back again in order to reconcile all things to himself. You see, our sin, that is the ungodly, selfish, rebellion actions of our thoughts and minds, had separated us from our holy Creator. It had led us astray from that purpose for which we had been created, to worship Him and to honor Him. And God the Son, Jesus Christ, left heaven's glory and he became a man in order to make a way for sinners like you and I to be restored back to him. And so what did Jesus do? Well, Paul reminds us of what he did here. He descended to this earth. He was born in the likeness of men, and as a man, he lived the perfect life that you and I could never live. And this is the truth that we rejoice in every Sunday we come together. He demonstrated a perfect righteousness here on earth, a perfect righteousness that is given as a gift to all those who will trust in him. And then Jesus walked in his obedience to God right up to the cross, where he died a perfect death that you and I could never die, beneath God's wrath for the sins of his people. See, the infinite punishment that we would have to suffer under for all of eternity as the wages for our sin and our rebellion against God. Jesus, because he was a man, he was the God-man of infinite worth, he took on himself in that cross on behalf of his people in those moments. So that if we trust in him, every single one of our sins, both remembered and forgotten, are completely paid for and forgiven beneath the shed blood of the perfect Lamb of God. And so Jesus descended even to the grave, but he did not stay there, for on the third day, we celebrated this last Sunday, right? He rose from the dead in victory over sin and over our death and over our judgment. He won the victory that you and I could never win. And then 40 days later, as Paul reminds us here, he then ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things. In other words, that's an expression if you were to study it out that basically means that all things might be reconciled and brought together in him. Through his saving work, the fabric of heaven and earth and God and man are being brought back together again in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And part of that filling all things in Christ begins with Christ filling us. How? With the gifts of the indwelling Holy Spirit that he has imparted to his body. Verse 7 says, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." Now notice the ascended Christ has given, it says here, to each one of us by his grace through the Holy Spirit, he has given us a spiritual gift. Every single one of us who have been reconciled to God in Christ Jesus has one. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, to each was given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And then again in 1 Peter 4, verse 10, since each one of us has received a gift, let us use it. Why? How? To serve one another as good stewards of God's very gift. We've received a gift to do something with it. What? To engage in ministry. To engage in ministry. To serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. He's entrusted it to you for the sake of others. See, when God saved you and brought you into the body of Christ, He entrusted to you in Christ a spiritual gift that is given to you for the sake of service, for the sake of ministering to and for the local body of Christ. We have one giver towards ministry. And that's powerful when you really think about it. When God saved you, I want you to think about this today. When God saved you, He envisioned you right here this morning. That's pretty cool to think about. Not just in that pew, to be clear, right? But as a part of this people, here in this place, for the sake of His name, He envisioned you here. Look around. Seriously, look around you this morning. God knew that you would be here alongside these people. And so He gave to you, by His grace, at the moment of your salvation, a necessary and unique spiritual gift that would work in perfect unison with the rest of the body that He is creating. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, God has arranged the members of this body so that each part is indispensable to the whole. It's really cool. As God planned all of that in eternity past to come to fruition in the fullness of time. And He has done this for each and every one of us. To equip us for the service and ministry of our great God, the exalted and fulfilling Christ has given to each one of us a spiritual gift of service. So we have one body for ministry. We have one giver towards ministry. And finally, we have one mission in ministry. And that is that Christ might be first born and exalted among His brothers. Paul tells us here in verses 11 through 13, and He, that is Christ, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers. So in other words, Christ gave all of these spiritual positions of leadership to the church. Why? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. See, Christ gives spiritual leadership in the form of pastors, assistant pastors, elders. These positions of ministry, He gives spiritual leadership in all these churches. Why? To encourage us as believers to use our spiritual gifts. That's a good reminder that Jesus knows that it is very easy for us to simply become analytical pew warmers rather than active participants in ministry. And so He has given us spiritual leaders whose job is to do what? To stir us up into love and good works and to help equip us. Notice, He says, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. In other words, Grace Chapel doesn't just have one minister or two or six. Grace Chapel has over 250 ministers here and climbing. 250 people. Whom God has brought into our body to be actively imparting among us the message and the blessings of God's grace to us in Christ. 250 people that have covenanted themselves together to say, I will be a minister of the gospel to these people in this place for the glory of God. That is awesome. And friends, chances are you're one of them today. In the fullness of time, God has brought you here to pour out on these people around you at this time the love and the grace and the truth that you have found in Christ Jesus. That's why you're here. And that's why He has given you your spiritual gift according to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. It is for the common good. And I want you to know that when we all engage in that, it really does produce good among the body. Because you see, when we who have been reconciled to God in Christ link arms together and imparting among ourselves and among our community the message and the blessings of God's grace given to us in Jesus, when we all come together in ministry like that, something miraculous happens. It says that we, at the end of verse 12, says we start building up the body of Christ. And he says that again at the end, right? When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love in verse 16. See, when we minister, we start maturing. We start maturing, we start growing, we start becoming more like the Jesus who has saved us and that we seek to worship. And it's not just, by the way, as a whole, but we start growing individually as well. I thought it was interesting. I came across what Paul said to Timothy this past week in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 15 through 16, where he says this: practice these things. Immerse yourselves in them. In other words, Paul is talking to someone who had the spiritual gift at that point of preaching and teaching and being a pastor. And he says, okay, I want you to use your spiritual gift. Why? Because when you use your spiritual gift, he says this, so that all may see your progress. For by doing so, you will save both yourselves and your hearers. Ministering motivates maturity. How much spiritual stagnation, brothers and sisters, is experienced not only in churches, but in individual believers' lives over the refusal to do one of the most fundamental things that is exhorted in God's word, and that is to not live as an island, but to live as a member of the local body of Christ by serving one another faithfully and consistently, and keep your lamps burning until Christ returns. There are believers that literally plateau in their spiritual growth because they refuse to, like Jesus, put on the robes of a servant and wash each other's feet. They will look around like the disciples in John 13 and say, someone else is more qualified to do that. I'm only gifted in this way. And Jesus is like, just get on your knees and serve. And that's where the growth happens. Ministering motivates maturity. We are to love the Christ who saved us by loving and serving his body in the church. I encourage you, for the sake of your own spiritual life and growth, that if you don't have an area, or if you've been limiting yourself in where you're willing to serve, I would encourage you to prayerfully consider looking for one of those opportunities to faithfully minister wherever there's a need as we go over into our ministry fair this morning. It might be intimidating when you look at some of the options available, right? It might be uncomfortable. It might stretch you a little bit when you're like, oh, that's one of the needs. But it will be one of the best things you will ever do in your life, both for yourself and for the body of Christ. Can I say that one of the best things I ever did growing up that actually equipped me for ministry, now that I'm standing behind a pulpit talking to you, it was being someone who cleaned the church bathrooms and vacuumed the church sanctuary every week and straightened out the hymnals. It was going and sitting in nursery and watching how my parents loved the infants of the church. It was participating in children's church and learning how to teach biblical truths to those who are the youngest. It's the best thing that ever happened to me because I wasn't pigeonholing myself into only certain areas of service, but I was willing to serve wherever there was a need. Christ uses humble people more than skilled. He gives the gifts for service. So I encourage you to look for those opportunities because there's a promise. That's the point. When we minister, we start maturing. And there's no limit to the growth that God will work in us when we embrace this call. Because look at verse 13. I'm finishing with this. Don't worry. Paul says that when we are stirred up to impart ourselves, impart to others the message and the blessing of God's grace to us in Christ, we start to build up the body of Christ until, he says in verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I wish I had a whole sermon to go through that verse. But again, obviously, what Paul is describing here is not going to happen until we get to glory, when we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, as 1 John 3:2 says. However, I don't want you to overlook this fact that Paul is also saying here, that our Christian life, until we get to that moment in glory, will look exactly like what he's described here in Ephesians chapter 4. That's what he's saying. It will look like standing side by side with other believers for the sake of the gospel and ministering to one another as members joined together in a body for the glory of Christ. That is the only path to glory. Think about that. The only people who make it together to glory before the Son of God are those who are marked by this type of life. It is literally by ministering beside one another that God will faithfully bring all of us as He has promised who are in Christ Jesus to His eternal glory. God has not only ordained the sovereign ends that we would make it to glory, He's ordained the sovereign means to those ends. And that is by serving side by side with other believers and being built up in our faith day by day as joint members of the body of Christ. Ministering alongside each other, you could put it this way, as a church is literally the means by which God will faithfully bring us to our destined Christ-likeness. And so this is our mission in ministry. It is to join arms with one another, to serve alongside each other, and to foster growth among each other until we stand before our Savior and Lord. We're not walking an individualized Christian life to glory. We are a pilgrim band, and we all get there together. Together. To the glory and honor of the One who has saved us. So this ministry fair, I've said all of that, is simply a humble tool that your pastors and teachers have desired to create to help stir up this type of ministry at Grace Chapel. It's a humble tool to help encourage that. So let me tell you how this will work. In a few short moments, I'm going to say a closing prayer, and you're all going to be dismissed for the rest of the service time through those side doors into Grace Hall. There inside, we do have some finger food, I know you're looking forward to it, and snacks that are set up to help you enjoy. Grab yourself a plate, then explore the rest of the room. In the hall as you enter, there will be an opportunity to fill out some forms as a directory update form. And so if you're not in our church directory yet, or if you are but you suspect you may need to update your email or phone number, or if you're a junior higher or a high schooler that would like to be included in our church emails, fill one of those out, drop it off in the basket. We'll get that information updated for you. And then the second thing that you'll see, and this is the most important thing, this is the main event you will see as you explore the room, is various booths set up all around the outskirts of Grace Hall. Each one of these booths represent a major area of ministry that you can learn about and that believers involve themselves in regularly here at this church. These booths will be hosted by a few representatives from each ministry who can tell you more about that ministry and answer any questions you might have. And you can find out the needs that each one of those ministries have as well and how you might potentially be able to meet those. And then though each booth will be slightly different with signage and decorations and resources, there will be a sign-up sheet that you can put your name down on for whatever ministries you might be interested in serving in. And so if you're interested in exploring and participating in a certain ministry, put down your name on the sheet so that we can know that you have an interest in serving there. And again, don't pigeonhole yourself. See where there's a need and see how God might grow you over this next year. Brothers and sisters, this is how I wanted to encourage you today, is look around you. Look at what God has done right here in our assembly. The grace of God towards sinners like us. We have one body for ministry, a church of which we have been in the perfection and sovereign purpose of God. We have become members one of another. We have one giver towards ministry, Jesus, who has entrusted to each one of us an indispensable place among the body of Christ to serve Him in. And we have one mission in ministry, to build one another up in our joint service together until we all stand together, perfected as one body before the glory of the matchless One. Because ministry motivates maturity. So let's be faithful in that maturing work today as a church. We have seen what God has done. Now let's see what God will do for His glory in our midst. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God from Ephesians 4:4-13, which I consider a great privilege to have been able to share with you today, which I now commit to your further study and your faithful obedience in the fervent care of one another, until He who is the object of all of our faith, knowledge, and hope returns. To that end, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we've had just for these few short moments to come and to be reminded of some very basic truths in your word. Father, I thank you that you are in a mission in this world for your own glory. And you have saved a people for your glory. And that, Father, as we come together, we grow and we mature. And we bring you glory as the body of Christ at work in this world. So, Father, as you have equipped us for this moment, for this day, for this hour, and for this body, help us to be faithful in following you and taking on a life of a servant just as Christ did. And Father, I pray that as we engage in service in this way, in this new year, Jesus Christ would be exalted, honored, and pleased. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.